March. Lowell, Highway 401, Ontario.
I've got frostbite on my ears right now because of this wind chill. I had to stop and set up a camp and shake the snow out of my boots. Because when your boots get wet inside in this weather, you can't ever seem to dry them out. And then your feet are always wet and freezing. And I'm getting sick of eating canned food. Every night, it's either beans or pasta, corned beef hash. I'm getting sick of having to start my own campfire every time I get wet. But I can't build it too big. I have to try and keep it big enough to stay warm, but small enough to keep a low profile. So, pretty much everything sucks right now. Had some more weird dreams last night. I can't remember much of them, except I could hear someone screaming. In the dream, I could hear it. This screaming. And I woke up in my lean-to next to the fire, and I thought I could still hear the screaming. Like in reality, off in the distance. And I know this is wrong, but I thought the screaming, I thought it sounded like Jane. I thought I heard Jane screaming. I'm in the darkness of the woods somewhere. So I turned on the tape recorder to try and capture it. And then when I stopped hearing it, I went back to the tape and there was nothing on it. No screaming. Because it had never really been there. Not really. It was just in my head. Jane screaming. Because she only exists in my head now. We were surfing back in Lawrencetown. Me and Jane and JP and Connor. We were all like 14, like 15 years old, around that. Jane was 16. And the surf was pretty okay that morning. You know, you could grab a wave and just ride it out for a long time. It's nothing crazy, but just this real nice steady surf. And we were all just kind of doing our thing in this ghost fog settled in all around us. And Jane got up on her board for this one wave, and she just she rode it out. And I kind of just watched her ride it out the whole way. And she looked it's kind of hard to describe what I was thinking when I was watching her, but I couldn't stop watching her, you know. I was so distracted, I let go of my board. It floated out in front of me, and I didn't even notice. I was too busy watching Jane. But my board, it got kind of, turned sideways. And then this wave came, and it smashed the board right in my head. I don't know what happened next, because it knocked me out. But when I woke up, I was looking into her eyes. Jane's. And our eyes kind of, we looked right into each other. JP and Connor were just standing around. And JP told me he thought that I drowned. Connor said that he thought I was dead. But Jane had resuscitated me. When I opened up my eyes, we were looking right into each other. It was one of those kind of moments. Like, there was potential for a new life. That sort of feeling. like it was fate. There is so much stuff that just exists in my head now. I need to find somebody. I need people. I've seen people on the roads. There are people here and there just moving about, trying to get to God knows where. Maybe if I find somebody heading my way, I might just see if I can join up with them. Share the road with somebody for a while. I gotta get moving again. Have these letters to deliver from Lancaster, after all. Make sure I get them to Gananoque. Letters won't deliver themselves, right? I think I can make it to Gananoque in a couple days. If I keep pushing hard. I just gotta keep pushing hard. So mush, Husky. Mush. Mush.
Violet, 76, Cornwall, Ontario.
It really hasn't been much of a winter at all. No, it could have been a lot worse, that's for sure. I don't mind the snow, but I hate the cold. I don't like the wind. When it's cold and the wind picks up, oh, I just get so cold now. Even with my coat on and my scarf and mittens, it just gets too cold. But now, it's starting to melt. You can tell. Now it's warming up. Not very much, but a bit. A little bit. That's why I was asking you to shut the door when you came in. I asked you to shut the door, and you just looked at me like a baby squirrel who's forgotten where he buried his acorn. I had to tell you to shut the door. How long have you been out there anyway? By yourself in the snow? It must have been freezing. Well, lucky it hasn't really been much of a winter at all. No. Nope. Could have been a lot worse. I love to talk to people. You're the first company I've had since last week when Father Yerxa came out to see me, which was very nice of him. He didn't have to do that, but he did. Gave me the blessing. He's such a nice man. I used to go to the service every Sunday morning with Alice, but she stopped showing up here a few weeks ago. She'd always pick me up in her Oldsmobile. We'd drive down together into the main part of town where the church is. Have you been to the town yet? It's nice. The church is beautiful. Alice would sing in the choir. She had a really nice voice. My voice can't hit those really high notes anymore, so I always sat in the congregation. The crowds were small enough, and I had my own pew all by myself. I could see Alice from where I was sitting for the whole service. She was right in my main view. And every once in a while, she'd catch my eye and wink at me. And whenever Father Yerxa made a joke in the sermon or introducing the next hymn, we'd smile at each other. Oh, she was a very good singer. She even had her own band that used to play for her when we were both younger. A long time ago now. We were just kids. She had a band playing behind her, and they would play at the community hall and at the arena every weekend or so. They play all the new songs, even the ones our parents didn't want us listening to, like Rock Around the Clock and all of those. All the good ones. After Rod died from that stroke, Rod was Alice's husband, and she swore she would never marry again. Me? Oh, I never got married. I just never had anyone who, you know, ever wanted to ask. And after every service, Alice and I would help the ushers collect the extra programs from the pews and tidy up. And then she'd drive me back to my house, here. And we'd always have red rose tea and biscuits. I made the biscuits the night before, every Saturday night during hockey night in Canada, while that was still on. I'd be cooking biscuits for Sunday brunch with Alice. She really liked biscuits, and we both liked our red rose tea. And Father Yerxa noticed that we hadn't been showing up to the church lately. He's such a very nice man. He filled up my wood box before he left. All of my wood for the winter, I had the men pile in downstairs in my cellar. It's dry down there. I have to go downstairs whenever I need to fill my wood box up by the stove. The stove's a great little stove. I boil my water on it and everything. I ordered it from Simpson Sears years back in the 80s. I knew 3 weeks ago when it was time to go, and her Oldsmobile never showed up. I figured they got her now too. She was my ride to church. She always came to pick me up. Very nice of the man to come and visit me at home, you know. He doesn't have to do that. If he comes back again, I have lots of raspberry jam in the cellar. Could be worse. Yeah. Could be much worse. Hasn't been much of a winter at all, really. I think I got so used to everything being so convenient. Everything was getting so convenient. The snow, we'd get a snowstorm and the roads would be ploughed before the next morning. The power would go out and they'd have it back on and running in an hour or so. And people started carrying their own phones around with them. Everywhere they went, everything was getting so convenient. When I was growing up, things weren't like that. You could get snowed in for weeks. You had to get prepared for a storm. You had to buy groceries in advance and stock up on wood. You didn't know if they'd get the power going again or not. Just like it is now, I guess. Like we've gone back in time, almost. Oh. Everything was getting so much better, it seemed. You've had to live as long as I have. You would have to have known that, how everything was getting so much better. People were carrying their phones with them everywhere they went. And then, of course, now this happens. And poor Alice. I imagine whoever they are will just bundle me up in a big sack and haul me out into the woods some night here soon now. But you can't do anything about it. Whoever that's doing it, they're going to keep doing it until they get it out of their system. Whatever's bugging them. Whatever point they have to prove themselves, oh, it's a shame because everything was getting so much better. Would you mind bringing me up a few armloads of wood from the cellar? If you could just fill my wood box, that would be fine. That'll keep me going for another couple of days. Oh, it's a good stove. Ordered it from Sears.
M, 42, Brockville, Ontario.
My name is M, and this is hilarious. This is just funny. And you won't talk at all. That's the deal, huh? You'll just let me ramble on about anything I want to, so you can capture humanity. Capture humanity. Now that's a funny word. Capture. Funny. Did I mention I was a prison guard? At the jail over in Kingston. Back before the place caught on fire. Back before everyone left. Before I left. Before I came here. And then we have this fucking place. Brockville. You may not have noticed it yet, but the town here, pretty much everyone has left. Did you notice how quiet it is here yet? I thought I might be the only one here in town. If there's anyone else, I haven't found them yet. Most people tried to make their way to Toronto, I think. Most of them. Some might be heading for Montreal. Some. But I think I might be the only one here. Walking the streets of Brockville. M. Merle. I don't mind leaving. Hitting the road again, not at all. Need to go where the action is. It's boring here. I have been bored for days now. I had a little buddy. He helped me get here from Kingston. But I've been a man alone since me and him parted ways. It's fate, I guess, right? I'm getting bored. Last man standing. And the universe sends you right to me. And my feet have been getting itchy, let me tell you. I have been getting restless. We can get there on foot in a day. Keeping to the roads. But I don't think we should follow the road. Road's dangerous now. You seen the purple lights yet? I saw them flashing in some of the houses just down the street here. Whatever they are, whoever they are, I could see them through the crack of the door of the house I was crashing in. Only thing is, I have lots of gear that'll have to come with us. Government issue type stuff, if you know what I mean. I already raided the station in town here. They had enough in this station to outfit a militia. Right, gear and everything. The fuzz. Because they had to be ready if the government ever gave the word to bring their boot down on the people. This whole thing, you watch. This whole thing was years in the making. There have been warning signs about this, what's going on. The government just tried to cover it all up. Didn't want people to know the real story. But I know a lot of shit. Like, classified shit. The shit the government don't want anyone to know about. We'll hit my bunker. Gear up. Get you going where you need to go. I'll get to stretch my legs, and I can tell you all about it. The whole story. What the fuck's been happening to all of us. The real history of the world. That's what I got. This is fate. You were sent to me. You look too soft for all of this. When I was your age, I was a fucking animal. I'll take you under my wing. But turn the recorder off. First, I gotta show you something.
M. 42. Location unknown.
Yeah. So, my name is M. Merle. And I'm right here now with Lowell Garish. And we're on the road. And still in one piece, right, Lowell? Hey, wake up. If you don't fucking answer me when I ask you a question, I'll hit you with the baton again. On the other side of the head this time, so fucking talk when I tell you to.
Yes, sir.
Don't call me sir. This isn't the fucking army. I've taken you under my wing. You call me father from now on, okay? What do you call me from now on?
Father.
That's right. Because I'm looking out for you, right?
Yes, father.
That's right. Now, we're going to have to start at the start and work our way all the way to the end. Which is now, is what I'm saying. Aliens, Lowell. Aliens flew here from another galaxy, and they were looking for a place with certain conditions that could sustain life, and they came here. They found Earth, and Earth was perfect. So they decided to start their clone farms here on Earth. But there were all these dinosaurs on the Earth, so they had to go around and kill them all off. They flooded the air with all these fucking reptile viruses, and the viruses killed off the dinosaurs. Viruses that would kill reptiles, but the mammals were immune to. Because the aliens, at their core, they're mammals. Just like us, Lowell. That's what a lot of people don't know. You start talking about aliens to someone, Lowell, and they start thinking about lizards or glowing light creatures or whatever. And maybe there are aliens out there in a universe like that, but the aliens that came to Earth, Lowell, they were mammals. And once all the fucking dinosaurs were dead, that's when they started up their clone farms. And that's how primates came to be, Lowell. It's not like we evolved from fucking rats or anything, we were always primates. But all primates, they were created from these clone farms. And the cloning, the aliens, it was all trial and error for them, so some of the clone batches turned out differently than they were supposed to. And that's why you have different types of primates all around the world. Gorillas, and Neanderthals, and gibbons, and howler monkeys, and all of that. Different batches of clones turned out differently. But finally, after a bunch of failed attempts, the aliens managed to create batches of humans, and that's how we come into existence. We were the end result of all of these failed experiments. But what happened to the aliens, right? That's what you're wondering now, right? Why'd the aliens go through all the trouble to clone humans and then just leave, right? Well, here's the fucking kicker. Are you ready for this, Lowell? Only half of the fucking aliens left. The other half stayed here on Earth and live with the clones of themselves that they made. And they bred with them. And they assimilated themselves into the clone population. And this is how the aliens are trying to spread themselves throughout the universe. They come to a habitable planet, start up a clone farm, start up their new societies, and then move on to the next habitable planet. See, these aliens are not trying to become like kings or anything like that. They're just trying to spread their DNA across the universe. They're just trying to spread life around. They don't try to conquer things. They try to spread. Like a virus, kind of. That's their goal. Do you get me?
Yes, Father.
The ones who stay, for a little while, they have knowledge of the technology, and they try to pass that on the best they can through their clone societies, but eventually, the aliens die. And most of the knowledge they have dies with them. Some of it gets passed down, but not all of it can. And that's why you see evidence of all this crazy technology in ancient civilization. Shit like the Stonehenge and the pyramids. They had the knowledge of how to do all of that. Because the knowledge was passed down to an extent. But eventually, all knowledge gets lost as societies come to ruin and wars destroy culture and so on and so forth. You understand? We've got alien blood in our veins. The DNA doesn't fade. That carries on. That information survives. We can pass it on through our bodies, but the information about technology and science, that stuff, can't be carried on like that. So it dies out. Gets covered by sand and silence, etc. Until eventually, you have a society built up that has no idea how it got there. No idea how it knows anything at all. like a society of amnesiacs. And the governments, they know this. And that's where the hustle comes into play. Because there's no one easier to hustle than an amnesiac. You tell an amnesiac anything, and they'll believe you because they have to. Because they got nothing else. Because they got a hole in their head where the truth used to be. You can get an amnesiac to do anything you want to. You just gotta know to manipulate them. The governments, they know that everyone's missing something. And because they know this, they know they can manipulate us. And the aliens that started it all off, they're light years away, spreading themselves around the galaxy. They've got no interest in us as a kingdom. They've got interest in us only as a mold or a fungus. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Father.
Because this shit tires me out. I think about this shit all the time and it tires me out. It's a burden, this knowledge. That's why you were sent to me. I can't carry all of this shit forever.
Yes, Father.
Yeah, okay. That's enough for now. I'm fucking hungry. Turn it off. I don't want you talking anymore during the recordings. Even if I ask you questions, I don't want you to respond. I don't like your voice in them. The message, your voice is muddling the message of what I'm trying to talk about here. The information I'm trying to pass on to the people. So that's why I had to wrap the duct tape around your mouth today. Your voice, it just messes up the message I'm trying to send to the people. So it's just for safety's sake. I had to hit the little dipshit again today because he dropped the bag he was carrying the tape recorder in. I don't know how any of this managed to survive this long. How he carried it all the way here from Halifax is beyond me. How many times have you dropped a tape recorder between here and Halifax, you dipshit? This is going to be a miracle if any of this survives. And I can't do anything about your eye either, dipshit, so you better stop your fucking whimpering. It's like having some kind of fucking dog or something. What do you call them? Chihuahuas? That whine at your door when they want outside or whatever? Like at the prison back in Kingston. We didn't know what to do with the ones left in lockup, the prisoners. A couple of my co-workers were looking after them for a while, signing them meals and everything. Then, when the town really started going south, a couple of them started suggesting we let them out of their fucking cells. Well, no fucking way to that, I said. And that's when I had to start Operation Shutdown. Ralph, I had to shoot him. Bert and Adrian, they got away. Managed to club Lester unconscious with the baton. Strung him up in the hallway so all the criminals could hear him screaming while I started skinning him there. Because I wanted them all to shut up. They'd all been whimpering, like dogs, wanting to go outside for days. I knew that if I skinned Lester, they'd shut up after that. They did, too. Locked and barred all the doors of the place and left them to finish serving their time. They're still in there. And if not, whatever it is that's taking people now would have gotten them by now. Purple light horse shit. I don't know where Bert and Adrian ran off to. Probably Toronto. But that was a month ago. And to be honest, if Gananoque had some kind of military outpost still operating out of it, and Bert and Adrian made it there, why didn't they send anyone to Kingston? To help the prisoners? Or to hunt me down? That's how far this shit has flown. I'd be surprised if you even find anyone in Gananoque, Lowell. You know, I passed Gananoque on my way to Brockville. I didn't see no military bullshit. Which brings me to these two fucking letters you've been carrying, Lowell. The ones you're supposed to be delivering to Gananoque for the fuzz, from Lancaster. Have you read them? I know you probably haven't because the envelopes were sealed, but I mean, I'm looking at both of them right now, and you know what? The letters are blank, Lowell. The paper. There's nothing on it. In the letters. It's just folded up sheets of blank paper. You don't believe me? Look. Here. Blank. Sheets. No words. Nothing. Why'd they send you to Gananoque carrying blank sheets of paper? What the fuck kind of sense does that make? That makes sense to you? Fucking odd, isn't it? They sent you out of Lancaster with a couple of blank sheets of paper. There's a reason people don't trust cops, kid. There's a reason we call them pigs. You can get a person with amnesia to do anything. They know this. You're safe now. With me, I'll look after you. I'll show you the way. From here on out, I'll teach you the truth. And I won't ever lie to you. Have I ever lied to you? Lowell? My father was a real card. He was a liar. He told my mother that he never did anything to us growing up. Couldn't figure out why we were shitting the bed all the time. Even as teenagers. You imagine that? In junior high and still every once in a while waking up covered in your own shit? Having to throw out the sheets and scrubbing yourself before some rash set in? Before anyone else in the house woke up? And then getting fucking yelled at because where the fuck have your sheets from your bed disappeared to? Because we can't afford new goddamn sheets every week, so where do they go, Em? My father, with that look on his face every time it happened. That look of feigned fucking bewilderment. I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know why they're acting like this. The look on his face was so fake and stupid that it made you just want to drive hot fucking stove irons through it. You were under his wing until she died, Mom. And after she died, we clipped his wings with a sledge axe. In secret. In a garage. We threw the pieces in the trash just like we had with our own shit-stained sheets. And no one ever knew. No one ever found out. And after my brother hung himself in his 20s, I was the only one left who knew anything about anything. I was the only one anywhere. The only one at all who knew anything about anything. I was the only one left carrying around the truth. If you ever bring this up again, I will break your skull. I'll rip that duct tape off and take my pliers and crack your jaw in half. I don't like talking about this shit. You make me talk about this again, and I'll break you into pieces so small they'll fit you in a fanny pack. Turn that fucking thing off! I've been listening to all of your old recordings, and I'm starting to think I've made a terrible mistake. I've been listening to all the tapes here, and they're just really amateur. I'm not sure you're up to the task, to be quite honest. And understand, that's me being honest. That's my honest opinion, because I never lied to you. Everything just sounds so amateur, like the things you've been recording, just people talking out of their asses, and you never ask them questions, and just the whole lot of it. Just a bunch of nonsense. And now with the state your legs in after you made me kick you today. I don't know what you were thinking when you dropped the fucking rifle bag. Those rifles are fucking loaded. It's dangerous. What you did. Someone could have gotten hurt. I could have. You're a danger to yourself and the people around you, Lowell. I feel bad for Jane. Having to put up with you as long as she did. And you couldn't even keep her safe. I mean, I'm starting to think I'm taking a real risk here. Taking you anywhere. And with your leg in the state it's in now, we'll be moving slower than fucking tree sloths like this. And what are we supposed to do now? What do you think, I'm going to carry the fucking rifle bag now? Or the fucking recording equipment? You think I'm going to carry the rations? the bigger problem. Really, it's just your whole mentality, Lowell. You're just not as with it as I thought you were. You can't even see out of your left eye anymore, can you? Can you? You can't. I bet you can't. Your other eye looks like it's glazed over. Like you got this glazed look on your face now. Like you're a fucking handicap or something. And this is who I'm supposed to be sharing my message with. You're really going to be the one who records my message. You're my prophet. You weren't sent to me. I'm starting to understand that now. You weren't sent to me. I was sent to you. Put you out of your misery. You're just some brainwashed zombie kid the pigs in Lancaster were having some fun with. You're just another lost soul wandering around aimlessly, waiting for the purple lights to come and collect you. And now you're putting me in this position. I'm in this position again. Same position I found myself in 2 weeks ago with my last little buddy. Whatever his name was. The one I tried eating. But human flesh, Lowell, let me tell you, human flesh is overrated. Like, I tried to, but I couldn't. Not even with barbecue sauce and brown sugar. It didn't taste right. I just don't got it in me, I guess. I'm not savage enough to really... I couldn't make it taste good enough to stomach. The sad thing is that it's the world, ultimately, that's going to suffer. The world, that's the real tragedy here. The world's never going to hear my story. I'll never be able to share my truth with... Unless I carry on your work for you. Take what you're doing and make it my own. Bear your cross. I could take the equipment and start over. Start interviewing everyone I meet and get the real story out of them. Get them to tell me the truth behind everything. What they really think. What they really feel. I could do that. I know how to ask questions. Being a prison guard, I had to ask people questions all the time. I had to interrogate criminals every day. Get them to spill their guts. Cut through all the bullshit. I was actually pretty good at that part. Cutting through the bullshit. Getting people to fess up. Getting them to rat each other out. That part of the job was easy. I recognize you, Lowell. The work you were doing, I recognize it now. I see how it is important. I don't think you're up to the task anymore, though. Not with your leg like it is. I don't think you can even see out of your eye. There's no reason why I couldn't just pick up your work where you left off, you know? Where you leave off. No reason at all. I could do this. Get my own message out. Carry my own words. Find out what's really happening to all of us while I'm doing it. There's no reason why it can't be me. I can absorb this. I can absorb you. It should be me. From now on, it will be.
End of tape. F42-3-B2. Casey, 34, Gananoque, Ontario.
Believe it or not, that was the first person I've ever shot. Being a medic, I haven't really run into an instance where I've ever really had to pull a trigger. I've had to draw my gun a few times, but I've never had to shoot anyone before. Wasn't as hard as I thought it would be, though. Didn't mean to hit him in the head like that, but... Oh well! He was sticking you with his knife, right? I mean, can't be going around sticking people with knives like that. Someone might shoot you. If you do. Am I right? So, okay, we've stopped the bleeding and bandaged up your leg. If you're lucky, he only kind of scratched it with his knife. We've disinfected and cleaned up your eye, and that patch should be all the protection you need until it heals. I think he might have detached your retina, which would explain the loss of vision on that side, but it'll heal itself up. Just keep the patch on. Your knee is going to give you some problems. It's bruised pretty badly, and I think he might have knocked a chip off your tibia or your kneecap. That would account for the swelling, but I don't think any of your ligaments are ripped. Maybe a little cartilage. The knee is going to be swelled up for a bit, and it's not going to go down until you rest it for a while. It looks like you may have suffered a couple of concussions, which I can't really do too much about. Sorry. I wish I could, but I don't really have anything for that at the moment, other than the aspirin. Again, with the concussions, just like the knee injuries, the only thing you can do is rest. It takes time in both cases. You should come into town with me. There's no outpost or anything. I'm not sure where you got that idea, but there's a bunch of us set up in a bed and breakfast on the west side of the community. I'm the only military personnel. I got separated from my squad a few weeks ago when we were patrolling outside of Kingston. The bed and breakfast is all right. We got a couple of gas generators set up there, so we have lights and stuff in the house at night. There are groups of people kind of sporadically spread around here and there. If you don't want to chill with us, you should be able to find someone. The world isn't completely empty yet. But don't ask me about what's going on, though, because your guess is as good as mine. I only ever took orders. No one ever told me anything. I was just along for the ride. I'd recommend you coming in with me, though. Stay with us until you're rested up. This is gonna sound really weird, but you look like my little brother. I haven't seen him since I got called to duty. He lives in Winnipeg. He's taller than you, but he has your hair. I am still hoping he's okay in Winnipeg. So how long are you going to record me for?
As long as you keep talking.
Oh, okay.
It's nice.
Nice?
Just hearing somebody talk who's not... That's not completely insane.
Oh.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You are certainly welcome. What was your name again?
Lowell.
That's a pretty name. No, my brother, I mean, growing up I was pretty protective of him. I think maybe that's why I keep thinking of him so much. Like, more than my mom or dad or anyone else. I mean, I'm still worried about my mom and dad too. It's just, I don't know. I used to look after my brother growing up. I don't know why that makes me think of him more. Oh, there's something odd, too. If you're recording stuff, I know this is going to be weird. I've got no one else to report to, so yeah, maybe it should be on some kind of record or something. Is that okay? It's just something. Someone should record this. I've stopped menstruating. I haven't had my period in 2 months. I haven't, I don't know of anyone else who has, either. I've been speaking to some women, like, looking after some women, and it's the same with all of us. I don't know if it's just isolated to this area or what, but, no one's menstruating anymore. I don't know what that means. If our bodies are shutting down, or what, or if it's some kind of subconscious cultural thing or what, but it is weird. Not normal. So there, got that off my chest. Let's get you to that bed and breakfast. You can sleep in my room, but only if we can spoon. I'm just kidding. I'm kind of hilarious. Here, let me help you up.
Fortune of Wolves was written by Ryan Griffith. The series was produced by Big Noise Audio Collective and presented by Theatre New Brunswick.
The show was directed by Ryan Griffith with help from Jillian Hansen. Recording, editing, and sound design by Matt Carter. Music for the series was created by Counting On Downstairs with additional scoring by Matt Carter. To learn more about the series and the artists involved, visit tnb.nb.ca or look for the Big Noise Audio Collective on Facebook. This episode featured Kat Hall as the Chief Archivist, Jason McIntyre as Lowell, Ilkay Silk as Violet, Thomas Fanjoy as M, and Jillian Hansen as Casey. Next time on Fortune of Wolves.
What does it matter if you've completely stopped asking questions?
Inside of that camper looks like a freaking hurricane hit it. Hurricane of all our fucking or lovemaking or whatever you want to call it.
I walk this highway expecting less and less each day. And as such, occasionally I'm pleasantly surprised with what crosses my path.
I think we're dealing with something so weird, no one would even bother to make a movie out of it. I think we're dealing with something so wacky that Ed Wood probably wouldn't even put it in his movie. And that guy would put anything in his movie.